The Well is a gospel-centered church located in Boulder, Colorado. We exist to proclaim the gospel and make disciples. For more information about The Well, please visit us online at www.boulderwell.org.
Hey, good morning. Welcome to The Well. A little gloomy out there, but we'll get you waking up here a little bit this morning as we dive back into the book of Proverbs. We are continuing our series in Proverbs here this morning. So one of the interesting things about people is you get to know them is people have, let's just say, fascinating interests in life at times, right? And some of them can be quirky and kind of weird. I'll give you mine. So one of mine, weird like little obsession, quirky thing that I like to study and read about and know more about is I would call them like soldiers, warriors, generals, people along those lines. Like one of my favorite books of all time, it's called Generals, and it just chronicles all of the five-star generals in U.S. history. I nerd out. I spent 1 year, I really got into studying Apache warriors, different people like that, and I just found it extremely fascinating for lots of reasons, but I really just get into this kind of stuff. I love the movies around this stuff. I'd highly recommend, I just saw it the other night, the movie Midway just came out. Excellent movie. I enjoy all of that kind of stuff. Now, here's why I share this with you. Here's why I bring this up, even to go a little bit more deep into who I am. I have had this strange kind of curiosity about myself my whole life, and it's this. If I were a soldier and found myself in battle, how would I respond? It's something I've always been fascinated by. I was really curious. And actually, when I was in high school, it became almost too much for me to take. And I actually tried to enlist in the military. My family was like, no, you're going to go to college. And then it didn't end up working out. I didn't end up enlisting at all. But it's always been a curious thing for me. I've always wondered, how would I respond in that kind of scenario? And I know it sounds weird, but I find myself like daydreaming about it. Like, would I be like a hero? Or would I just be like a dude who doesn't do anything good, or like, well, how would I handle all that? I don't know. And the truth is, there's no way to know until you experience it. It's one of those things, you don't know what you know until you know it, right? And so there's no way to know that. Now, here's one of the other reasons I bring this up. Last year on my birthday, I had a very strange experience, and I don't know why I all of a sudden thought of this on my birthday. On my birthday last year, I had the realization that I am now too old to enlist. The military will not receive me. I was like, and it was a weird emotion to have. I was kind of like, huh, like I can't, like I'm never actually going to know the answer to that. And I actually got kind of strangely sad about it. Like I was kind of bummed on my birthday. I was moping around. My wife's like, what's wrong with you? And I was like, well, I just can't enlist in the military anymore. And she's like, was that a plan? And I was like, no, but I just like, I wanted to know, like, what would I be like? How would that go? And now the reality is the limitations of life in a new way have hit me. I am limited. If there was a conflict going on and I wanted to go serve in the military, I could go and then sign up, they'd be like, sorry, too old. That's a weird experience to have, right? And so I was just like fascinated by it. And I was kind of saddened by it. And what it did is it made me think about this thing that we have to deal with in life, which is limits and losses. And I think that's why I was so aware of that in that moment. I would say if somebody were to ask me, Matt, what's the big spiritual discipline that you've been studying, that you've been asking God to reveal in your life more and more over the last few years, I would say that would be the spiritual discipline of embracing limits and losses in life. And it's an extremely important thing for us to navigate. And that's what was going on there. That's why I was sad. I was like, wow, this is a very real limit that isn't, I mean, it's silly, but it's still a limit. It speaks to the greater thing that life has limits. Life is full of limitations. And you've experienced this, whether that's something small, like maybe when you were a kid, you dreamed of being a professional athlete, and then you didn't, right, become that because you weren't good enough. That's a limit in life. Like some of us, like, oh, I'm not good enough. If you're a professional athlete, well, good for you. Right? Like, but everybody else is we're kind of like, man, like that's a real thing that we go through that. Or maybe it's something later in life that's a little bit more serious, right? Maybe you've experienced the limitations around maybe your career. Maybe you've experienced limits and losses in your career. Maybe you've experienced limits and losses in your marriage, or maybe even in your singleness, right? Learning how to embrace limits is something that we must do. So what are we to do with this reality that there are limits in our life? What do we do with the fact that life has taught us that our kindergarten teachers lied to us? That we can't do anything we wanted as long as we put our mind to it. Or you kind of find out when you get older that that's not always true. Nice, but why are you lying to kids? That's mean. Don't do that, right? But the truth is as we navigate this and we learn this and we feel this, that like, oh, there's things I'm not going to do in my life. Or there's limits that I should probably put on my life that I don't really want to, that will probably serve me better. What do we do with this? Because this is a tension that we all live within. We live a life full of limits and losses. So what do we do? Well, let me give you the answer to that. It's pretty simple, and I've already actually said it. And then we'll spend our time, we'll look at the book of Proverbs, and we'll go to a few other spots in Scripture, and we'll examine this. But here's what I'd say. We are, according to Scripture, I believe, to embrace the limits and losses of life. We are not to hide from them. We're not to ignore them. We are to embrace the limits of our life. Now, Scripture shows us that we're not limitless beings, right? It teaches us that we are not gods. Like, we are not limitless people. We are humans, and humans face very real limitations in life. And we see this play out in the first few chapters of the Bible, right? When man and woman were created, they didn't have many limitations, but they definitely had one. They had a limitation in life, and that is Genesis 2:15 through 17. Let's read that together. This is Adam in the garden. The Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and to keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, "You may surely eat of every tree of the garden." Here's the limit. "But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat. For in the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die." Now, here's what we have to notice about this. This is a limitation on his life. It's like, hey, that's not many. Eat from any tree, but there's one that you may not. That is a limitation on life. And the reality is this, is we have to come to grips with this, is that limits on life are a pre-fall thing. Okay? This is before sin had entered the world. God said humans are not to be limitless people. There was a separation between who God is as a limitless being and us as created beings with limits that we have to succumb to, right? And this is just a very simple, good example of that. Well, what we see, though, is that we weren't very good at embracing the limits that God gives us, right? And so sin enters the world. Adam and Eve ate from the tree. And because of that, sin entered the world. And then the reality of sin brings more limits into our lives, more losses into our lives, right? Genesis chapter 3, verse 19. This is God talking to them after the fall. And he says, "By the sweat of your face you shall eat bread till you return to the ground, for out of it you were taken. For you are dust, and to dust you shall return." What is this limit that has just been introduced into the narrative? Death. Right? That is the ultimate limitation of the human being, is that death entered the world and came in through the sin. You see, in life, there's all kinds of limits, though, right? There's actual physical limits. Like, there's things you physically can and cannot do, right? There's mental limits. There's things, levels of intelligence and things that we can know and not know. There's spiritual limits. Like, one of the beauties of God, we've talked about this here in other series, is how well you can actually know God, but yet never know everything about God. There's limitations in our knowledge about God. But there's also a different kind of limitation that is good. And I want to bring this to your attention, and I would call it, and this limit is basically self-imposed limits or wisdom limits. That because of the brokenness, because of the fallenness in the world, we need wisdom limits in our life. Let me give you an example of what I'm talking about. An example of what I'm talking about could be this. I do not believe alcohol to be an inherently sinful thing. How you treat it is what becomes sinful, right? And so if you know that you can't consume wine or beer or whatever without getting drunk, then a wise limit that you should put on yourself is that you limit the reality that you are not going to partake in drinking alcohol, right? That is a wisdom limitation on life. I don't do this because I am not strong enough to handle the reality of what's going on when I drink, okay? Like that's an example of a wisdom limit that we all need. One of the interesting things in preparing this sermon, though, is this. I'll give you a little insight in my sermon prep. I have a rule. I don't listen to sermons on the topic I'm preaching on before my sermon's done, because I'll start realizing that I think everybody else's is better than mine, and it probably is. I'll be like, why do I even have this job? You know, and it's not good for me, right? And so, but every once in a while when I'm done, especially when I'm teaching on something a little bit more abstract like I am today, I go, hey, I wonder what others have had to say and if there's any corrections I need to make, you know? And so I searched out to go, hey, sermons on embracing limits in our life. And you know what I found? Like nothing. Nothing. Like there's not much. I mean, not nothing. That's not totally true. It's very limited on what's out there. You know what I found a ton of? Overcoming your limits. I found sermon after sermon on don't let life limit you. Know God and blow past limits. And I'm kind of going, I bet there's some good stuff in a lot of those sermons. But the real human experience needs to learn to embrace limits and losses in life. It has to do that. And I believe the church particularly needs to know this. Christians need to know, what are the limits that I have in my life? What are the limits God's given me in life? And how am I to interact with that? How am I to embrace that? And if you're here and you're not a Christian, I'm really glad you're here, because whether you're a Christian or not, you probably need to know what the limits are in your life for living life, okay? And I would submit this to you. Maybe give God a try in that department. Listen to what he has to say. It's very different what the world has to say. And I would invite you into that. But I think regardless of where we are, we need to know our limits for life. Look at our text we're in today. We read it when the worship team was up here. But I want to read it again. It's Proverbs chapter 3, starting in verse 5. The Word of God says this. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make straight your paths. Be not wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord, and turn away from evil. It will be healing to your flesh and refreshment to your bones. One of the amazing things about this passage, and we've talked about this as we've studied the book of Proverbs, is that a lot of times when you read a proverb, especially one that's several verses like this, there's a lot of different directions you can go. There's a lot of goodness in there. It's not meant for one singular thing oftentimes. But I would say that one of the main points that I would take away from this passage is that we are a people of limits. This is what Solomon is saying to us. If we were not a people of limits, Solomon would not have had to tell us to not trust in our own understanding, or be not wise in our own eyes. What he's saying is like, hey, your understanding has limitations. Your wisdom has limitations to it, right? Anybody? Okay, cool. You're allowed to move in church. It's okay. The passage is clearly showing us that we all have limitations. Now, little side note on this passage, because one of my pet peeves as somebody who loves to study the Bible is when we kind of twist scripture and make it say something it's not intended to say. But when we read this kind of passage, oftentimes what we hear is, you know, don't trust in your own understanding. The danger we run into is when we hyper-spiritualize things to be something that it wasn't intended to be. So, for example, on this passage, don't trust your own understanding. So some Christians will jump off the diving board into the deep end without knowing how to swim on that one, right? And what they'll do is they'll go, well, I can't trust in my own understanding, so I have no understanding. You know, it's just God. And I'm like, how does that work? You see, God has to teach you stuff, then you have to learn how to understand it, then you have to be able to apply it, right? And the key that we see here in this passage, if you really want to know the key to not trusting in your own understanding, but still being able to have understanding, still being able to pursue things like wisdom, it's actually found in the very first word of verse 5, trust. We have to understand the process of what's going on here. He says, trust in the Lord. You see, if we trust in the Lord, then the result is that we actually get wisdom, we get understanding. That's the ramifications of that. The danger is this, is when we get that backwards, when we go, I'm going to go to my own understanding, my own wisdom, and then when it goes bad, then I'm going to go try to trust the Lord. That's when we get out of order. And so what the author here is saying trust in the Lord. Don't just run first to your own understanding. It's not that you have no understanding. Of course you do. It's not that you have zero wisdom. Of course you do. It's saying the first step, though, is to trust in the Lord. An example of how I see this play out sometimes would be this. And I actually talked to a guy recently about this, and I asked permission to use it, and it's fine. And we were discussing this thing, and he actually said to me, he said, "Hey, you know, I've been thinking about asking this girl out, but I just want to trust in the Lord more, and you know, give it to God, and so I probably shouldn't do it. I don't think I have enough understanding." So I was like, "Yeah, dude, you should totally just go ask her out." He's like, "What? Like, shouldn't I pray more?" I'm like, "Yeah, that's fine, but like, don't twist these points of scripture to the point where you are paralyzed to inaction, right?" You know, you can be honorable in doing that. Like, go for it. And the danger there is what we do is we take scripture and we twist it to be something that actually upholds our fears instead of setting us free from our fears. And I don't want that for you. I want you to be free from that. And so that's not what this text is saying. So that's a little caveat, side note for free in there. But this passage is simply drawing our minds and our hearts to the reality that our wisdom and our understanding has limitations. And admitting that's half the battle. Admitting that's half the battle. Here's why. Admitting your limitations, you know what you're doing? You're admitting your weaknesses. You're admitting where you fall short. You're admitting where maybe you're not as good as you'd like other people to think you are. You're admitting things that you need help on if you use like a wisdom limitation that you put in your life for yourself, right? You're saying, I need help with this. I'm not good at this. And look what the Apostle Paul says about this, because it's actually a very good thing if you learn how to do that. Apostle Paul says in 2 Corinthians 12, verse 9, he says this, "But he said to me," this is Paul talking about God speaking to him, "my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in" what? "In weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly of my weakness, so that the power of Christ may rest upon me." There is strength and power in being able to see our limits, because then we're able to admit our weakness. And this is how the economy of God works. It oftentimes is upside down from what the world would teach, right? The world would teach, hey, don't let them know you're weak. Don't let them know where you're insecure. Don't let them know where you're incompetent. Don't let people know those things, because it won't go well for you. What Scripture calls us to do is actually the opposite, is to admit our weaknesses. And in that, when we then trust God, going back to Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5, when we can then trust in the Lord in that, then what we see Paul pointing us to is this reality that now it's not on our strength, but it's on God's strength. And that actually gives us what we need to be strengthened in the circumstances that we find ourselves in. It works totally countercultural to everything else we see. Several years ago, I was really, really blessed. I mean that beyond anything I could ever imagine. I got invited into a church planting residency program that, frankly, I had no business being in. Almost every single person who had gone through that program before me, at the minimum, had what we called an MDiv or a THM or a PhD. Okay? I didn't even have my undergrad done, because I hadn't taken math 101, okay? And I somehow got in. So when I say I don't know how I got in, I mean I don't know how I got in. But I got into this program, and it's known as one of the best programs you can get into. And so people would ask me, like, "Hey, man, what's it like? What are you doing in there?" And I really struggled to kind of put my finger on it for a while. I couldn't really figure it out, because when I really thought about it, like, what have you been doing? And I'm like, I feel like all we do is talk about our weaknesses and our limits and all of our losses in life. And honestly, about 6 months in, I started getting really annoyed by it. I was like, I want to know how to raise money to plant a church. And they're like, "Well, let's talk about that thing that happened to you that you're sad about." I'm like, "What is happening?" right? And so I would get really annoyed. And then one day, it all clicked. It all clicked. And I wrote it down, what I realized that they were doing, what they were trying to teach me. And these are men that have planted over hundreds and hundreds of churches and started one of the largest churches in the country. And I mean, just godly men and women that just loved God so much and were just pouring into us. And here's what I learned was this. Until I was able to admit my weaknesses and my limits and seek help where I needed help, I could not be as strong as I needed to be to plant a church. That's all they were trying to do. They were trying to point me to what Paul had just said. They were trying to get me to believe that. Not just know that, but believe that. And to see that my limits in life were an opportunity for God to do something good in and through me. So my question for you is this. Is there a limit in your life that you need to embrace that is really something that God could use to do something far beyond what you could imagine? See, we must learn to embrace the limits of this life and see the limits as opportunities to live more fully in the joy that the Lord has for us. Now, just apply this to relationships, the relationships you have. Imagine if we are able to think through our relationships and embrace the limits and losses that we experience in relationships. How would your life look? Let me give you a few examples. For those of you that are single, maybe that limit that you need to experience is a self-imposed limit. Maybe you love the idea of limitless freedom, right? Where you don't have to follow anybody else's schedule. Maybe a good limit for you would be to get married. Now, it's not everybody, but I'm saying maybe. And you're like, marriage is a limit? Yeah, because all of a sudden two become one, and it's very different. You don't get to just do whatever you want to do. And maybe for some of you, that would be the best thing that could happen to you. Right? For those of you that are married, you're not getting off the hook. Right? Maybe you need to come to grips with the limits of your spouse. What would it look like if maybe the expectations that you have for your spouse are not real? And listen, like, you can embrace that. Like, when we get married, like, I can guarantee you my wife thinks of me that she probably thought I'd be way better than I am at a lot of things, right? Like it would be healthy for her, it'd be healthy for me to learn to embrace the realities of the limits of our spouses and understand that and know that it's okay. Well, let's get out of the relational stuff. Maybe for you, you need to embrace the limit of what your career is presenting to you in this moment, right? Have you been searching so long for the dream job that you're broke because you haven't gotten a normal job? Right? Sometimes we just need to embrace the limit, like, hey, in this season, I'm not going to have a job that checks all of my boxes for life. And that's a loss. It doesn't mean you have to stay there forever. How would that impact your relationships? Would you all of a sudden become more free and actually able to do things and be around your friends and so on and so forth? You see how all this impacts the relationships that we have. You see, learning that life is full of limits has a direct correlation to how we interact relationally with God and with others. And so it's worthwhile thinking through. There's a great quote here by a man named Jim Cofield, who's written several books, counselor, pastor. He's been here and taught before, but I want to read this quote to you about limits and losses that he said. It's a little heady, but hang in there. I think it's worthwhile because I absolutely love it. He says this: in facing and owning our limits and losses, we move beyond our narcissistic grandiosity. The pride that Adam and Eve had in their own limitless capacity to decide how they would live is something that has to die in all of us. If we wish to move beyond relationships that merely contain our projected idealizations, we must be willing to face limits of our humanness. Dying to self fosters a healthy embrace of our limitations and paradoxically makes it possible to live more fully into our relationships. Now, I know that's a lot, but yes. Let me break that down a little bit for you. Basically, what he's saying here is dying to self means that we, in a healthy way, embrace our limitations, and then that allows us to live more fully into the relationships that we have in life. Well, what does that look like? What does that look like? What does that mean, to die to ourselves? Because dying to yourself is a big part of embracing limitations. Well, look what Jesus said. That's a good person to ask. Luke chapter 9. And he said to all, "If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me." This is what we're talking about. Jesus is saying you must die to yourself and follow me. You must embrace your limitations. You must see that God is God and that you are not God. That's a big part of dying to ourselves, is letting go of our complex to be God. The Apostle Paul said it this way in Galatians 2:20. He said, "I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh," listen to this, "I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me." Right? Do you see what we're getting at here? Is this idea that there are limitations on life, but we're not left alone in them. That dying to self, that embracing limitation, embracing losses, is really an opportunity for Christ to step in and do what only God can do in those areas. But we have to be willing. We have to be able to loosen our grip. Are you white-knuckling your limitations? Or are you able to embrace them and say, this is my reality? Or these are limitations that I need to put in my way so that I can know God more. This is showing us that we must embrace limitations of life and trust in the one that has no limitations and is perfect in all that he does, Jesus Christ. The idea of dying to self is basically what Proverbs 3:5 says. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Let me tell you something. You cannot trust in the Lord with all of your heart if half of your heart is still trusting in yourself. Right? We must be willing to die to ourselves. Trust in the Lord. To do that, you must embrace your limitations. So let me ask you, do you have some limits that you need to embrace in your life? Do you have some limits you need to maybe put up in your life? Some of those wisdom limits. Yes, that's the answer. You do. Yeah, I'll answer it for you. You do. Look at your neighbor and say, "I have limitations." Look at him. Say, "I have limitations." Now look at the person who just said that to you and say, "I know." And that's the beauty of it, right? Like, listen to me, church, listen. If you go, "I have limitations," nobody's going to be like, "What? No way. You? I didn't think you had any limitations in life." It's not going to happen, right? And we're so afraid of doing it. And the reality is everybody in this room needs to embrace the limitations on life or place wisdom limitations on their life. It's part of the reality. And here's the most beautiful part of it is if the person sitting next to you is not surprised, you know who's really not surprised? God. He's not shocked by that. And one of the most beautiful places you can find yourself is in a point when you go, "These are the limitations on my life," whether it be physical, mental, spiritual, or wisdom-based. It doesn't matter. Listen, in that place, when we can admit those things before God, you know what you find out? Is that he loves you still, and you learn how much he loves you. You don't know how much he loves you, and you never will, but I can tell you this, you will know that God loves you more when you can bring your limitations to him and surrender those to him. And who doesn't want that? Who doesn't want that? So let's go back to that question. What limits do you need to embrace or even implement in your life? Think about it. Think through a few. What are they? What limits do you need to embrace? That might be really hard if you think about it. It might be a whole entire course change of life. But God's inviting you to be honest with Him and with yourself. Maybe it's a limitation you need to put in your life. Maybe God's been showing you a limitation, but because you've been white-knuckling it so long that you're not experiencing the joy that God would have for you because you won't admit that you have that limitation. Remember, embracing limitations, embracing weakness, it's where your strength is found. When we are able to embrace our limitations or implement good limitations, we are then trusting God. Let me help you out a bit more. Proverbs is a practical book, right? It's very practical. So let me give you a couple practical things to think through as you're kind of milling over the limitations that you may need to embrace or set up in your life. I want to give you a few insights into things that you're going to do this well. And the first one is this. It's one word. The word grieve. That might surprise you. That might surprise you. But you need to learn as a Christian to grieve your limits and losses in life. If we don't learn how to appropriately grieve the reality that limits in life mean at times that certain dreams die, and you don't learn to grieve that well and take that to the Lord in a healthy way, it will break you. It will break you. And God's good in that too. He can help you through that too. But I'm just saying, learning how to grieve is a uniquely Christian and beautiful biblical thing. The Bible explicitly tells us to lament the sad things in life. To let go of something, it's okay to grieve. Can I just free you up? You are allowed to grieve your losses. You are allowed to grieve your limitations. You are allowed to grieve your disappointments in life. You are allowed to grieve the reality that not all of your desires in life have come true. That is an okay thing. I would actually say it's a biblical, good, and right, and spiritual act to do before the Lord. Grieve our losses. We must give the soul time to grieve. So let me free you up. You're allowed to give your soul time to grieve. Doesn't have to happen right away. We can't keep trying to escape our own life. The life we have is the life we've got, right? And it's the only life that we will ever have. And to grieve, you must take the time to find things like silence and solitude and allow the soul to grieve. You must learn this skill. The soul must grieve its limits and its losses. Silence and solitude that is just a practice provides the space to kind of, in a sense, come home to ourselves and to our pain and to deal with it in a healthy way before God, trusting the Spirit of God to work and do what only He can do. That is a healthy way of going about this. Ronald Rollheiser wrote a phenomenal book called Against an Infinite Horizon, and in that book, he has this profound statement where he says that life is a series of incomplete symphonies and that we must learn to embrace that and know the limits of life. It's okay. You're not alone in your losses, but you must learn to grieve them. Let me give you another insight here. It's this. You must know what you were made for. If you're going to understand your limits and losses, you must know what you were made for. Here, this one's frustrating, and here's why. Because of how you were built. You are overbuilt for this world. You were made for eternity. You were made to be in the presence of God. You were made to be amongst perfection. But yet sin has ruined so much of that, right? And so what happens is this, is that so many of our desires, so many of our longing, so many of our wants, listen, they're good. And this world does not satisfy them. And so we feel disappointed on repeat. because it doesn't give us what we're kind of made for. Our longings are for heaven. Our longings are for perfection, but we don't get that here in this world. To put it bluntly, often your desires are too heavenly for this world. Not all the time. You have bad desires too. We have good desires as well. You are overbuilt for this world. This is where kind of the health and wealth, prosperity, gospel teaching gets it wrong. It's on this point. I call it an over-realized eschatology. And what I mean by that is what they've done is they've taken the promises of Scripture of what we will get, what we're made for, that are promised in the future when Jesus returns, and because the desires are so strong, it tries to pull those from the future and bring them into the now, but they don't belong here. Because God hasn't returned and redeemed all things to Himself yet. Right? And so oftentimes we struggle with this desire that we are overbuilt. Like, what, I'm not satisfied in this. Listen, here's what we need to understand. You are overbuilt for this world. The longings of your soul, the good things, those are good and right. And either you can have the perspective to be disappointed that it isn't going how you think it should go, or that can be a point of hope to know that that is your future reality. That is a different way of thinking and knowing the gospel. Because of this, we must learn to deal with and even implement limits in our life, or we will live a perpetual feeling of disappointment. Here's where the rubber meets the road on all of this. I want to read that passage in Proverbs again. Because after we just journeyed through all of this, I just want you to hear it again. I want it to fall on you. Proverbs 3, 5 through 8 says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will make straight your paths. Be not wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord, and turn away from evil. It will be healing to your flesh and refreshment to your bones." All of this is beckoning us to embrace our limits of life. And I think there's some just beautiful truth in here. I think this passage is saying a lot of things. And one of the things it's definitely saying is to embrace our limits in life. And one of the results of that is paths are made straight. And I love when it says that it will be healing to your flesh and a refreshment to your bones. You know the weight that you carry from not embracing the limits of your life? I think this is what this is talking about at some level. The weight of going, I have limits. I need limits. Letting go of that. Embracing our weakness and being found strong in God is something that I think physically impacts us. Healing to the flesh and refreshment to the bones. And it calls us to trust the Lord. And He will make straight your paths. And He will be a healing to your flesh. We can trust Him in this because though we are people that have limits, we do serve a God without them. We serve a limitless God. And that was proven to us, right? That's been proven to us. That Jesus Christ, He came. He put on flesh. He lived. He walked amongst human beings. And then the greatest limitation that we all face and fear came after Him, and that was death. And Jesus went to battle with death as He hung on the cross. But He ultimately was victorious. As 3 days later, He showed that He is truly the limitless God, as death could not limit Him. And He walked out of the grave. He defeated death. He defeated the greatest limit. And so now Jesus comes to each one of us. He says, embrace your limits. I have done the heavy lifting. And it is through Me that you can have what the soul longs for ultimately. And he embraces us and engages us in that. You can embrace your limits, your losses, and know that God loves you. You can know that. Today, know that Jesus' power is made perfect in your weakness. And please embrace that good, good news. Let's pray.
Thank you for listening to the Well Podcast. For resources and information on how you can support our mission to proclaim the gospel and make disciples, please visit us online at www.boulderwell.org.